about this. When you got born again, you come in an understanding that you are a special creature. You're a creation of the Lord God Almighty. You are unique. And I want you to receive that word, because that's the word. When you understand that the breath of God breathed life into you, the hand of God has been upon your life, and He has a destiny for you. Amen? You are unique. I want to wish you happy Father's Day. Fathers are unique. Amen? Fathers are very needful. And whether you're a physical father, I guarantee you everyone in here is a spiritual father. Amen? Spiritual father. And you that means that you bring life into other people's lives. So I wish you a happy Father's Day. Most importantly, let's just wish our Father a happy Father's Day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so thankful that You are our Father. You're our God, that we know You through Your Son, Jesus the Christ. We honor You on this Father's Day, and we thank You that You are building a family and that You're allowing us to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 31. While you're turning there, I want you to agree with the Lord. The Lord says in Psalms 139:14, He said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So let's just say that out. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, for the glory of God. Come on, you are unique. And we're talking about fathers today, but every one of God's creation is unique. And you are created for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you've never seen anybody else like me. Come on. What makes something unique? It's different. Everybody in this day and age is wanting everybody to be the same. We're not the same. We're all made by the Creator, but everybody is different because God chose to make us different. God knows what He's doing. He loves us all the same. We all have a place and a role here on earth, but in the eternity. Amen? And so we need to embrace our uniqueness, but also we embrace our unity that we have because Christ come to make us one. Amen? All right. You stay with me this morning. I want you to leave here because the Lord dealt with me very strongly about when you and I leave this place, that we understand how unique we are, that we understand that we've got a destiny, and though they look like there's so many dark days and the wind is blowing from every direction in the darkness, it's just a wonderful opportunity for God to be exalted and for things to happen. Because the more the enemy attacks, you think our God isn't going to open up a door. In this time of adversity, great things is going to happen. Amen? Amen? I believe it. All right, Exodus chapter 31. If you're there, say amen. I want to read the first 11 verses just to hold the full thought here, so you bear with me. Exodus 31, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see. Now that's important this morning. Say, I have eyes to see.
I have eyes to see.
I have called by name Baziel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, witty inventions, to work in gold and silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him, say with him, come on now, Aholalab, the son of Ahishamak of the tribe of Dan, and in his heart, and in the hearts of all that are wise, say that's me, and in the hearts that are all of wise, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table of his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all of his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all of his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and, say and, the anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I commanded thee, shall they do. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, souls, and minds, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Once again, I'm so thankful to be in the house of the Lord with you. It's so wonderful to see you. You are a blessing to our lives tremendously, and that's the way it should be. We need to bless each other. Amen. But most importantly, we always want to bless Him. Bless the Lord. So this morning, the Spirit of God really wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to embrace your uniqueness. He wants you to understand from the Word of God that in this season of your life, and how many knows everything's about a season? Come on, we go through dry times, we go through happy times, we go through sad times, we go through hard times, we go through good times. But in this season of your life, it's very critical, it's important that you and I recognize and realize that God has a destiny for you. He has a plan of action in all of those seasons of life. And so this morning, no matter where you're at, one place that we are all at is as the body of the living God, we're at the place where we've got to be about the Master's business. Everything that's happening is trying to stop the church. But what God's going to do in this season, He's going to use this shakening to remove all of those things out of your life and out of my life that's dead, that's unfruitful, that has no eternal, no lasting value. And as He shakes those things out of our life, the church is going to come alive. The church is going to be empowered and have a voice that the world thinks it's silenced. No, we're in a place and a position where the voice of the church is fixing to grow louder and louder. I believe that. And so this morning I want you to see that in this season that there's also sub-seasons. In other words, the time that you seem like that you're the driest is really the time the Spirit of God is pouring more into your life than you can ever believe. The time that it seems like that you have the more restriction and less freedom, the sub-season of it is really in the Spirit, you're experiencing great liberty. And what we've got to do is bring those things from the spiritual to this realm, this season of life in the natural, in the physical. But I want you to notice here that as the Spirit of God is talking to Moses, as God is talking to Moses and He's bringing this to us, you're either going to be in a place where God is using you in this season to instigate something. How many knows that God needs somebody to start something? Come on, say, I'm ready to start something, aren't you? He wants to start something. But at the same time, as God raises up people who are starting new ministries, starting new avenues, reaching people that have never been reached before, or bringing in those who have been heard and forgotten, He also needs helpers. And so He's going to raise up somebody to help the instigators. He's going to raise up helpers. And at the same time, then He's going to raise up the whole body to be able to give in to what needs to be done. Amen? In other words, the work of the Lord, it is not in a place where it's at lack. Come on. God, if God wants to do something, if He ordains something, guess what? He provides for it. And so I want you to know what just happened here through this little church is simply amazing. All the glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think about what happened. I mean, they went and, we had these thousands of dollars worth of food to be able to come into this church and then out of this church. Because it wasn't us, it was Jesus. Amen. All right, now think about how he instigated something. He moved on the heart of somebody to do something. He raised up helpers, and then He moved on people to give into that. So that's me. Go on, every one of you, you had a part in it, whether you were praying, whether you were participating in the physical, or whether you were participating in the materialistic, in the financial, whatever it might have been, every one of you. And people that you and I know in part, and some that we don't even know, they come and they sowed into that. Because why? Because they seen it. They recognized that God was the originator. Come on. We got the reefer trailer for nothing. We got the forklift for nothing. We got the diesel fuel paid for. We got the pallet jacks paid for. Come on. That's God. There's nothing that God can't do. Now listen, what the Spirit of God is getting ready to do, He's going to bring a deep revelation into your life, into my life, into His church, not this church, His church, of what He wants us to do. And we're going to look at it and we're going to say, wait a minute, I seen what God done over here. I don't care how big this looks. If God done this, He can do that. Amen? And so I'm going to be in my place in the season of God, and I'm going to be unique. And I'm going to be a father. I'm going to be a supportive. Come on, what do fathers do? They support things. Come on, but all of us, we're in this thing together. And so let's break these scriptures down. Now you stay with me. We got to see some things, and then we got to speak them out. Come on, the creative force. Because see, when the truck was coming, when the trailer was coming, we got a report. Hey, you're not going to get what you said you was going to get. Do you still want it? If you don't want it, that's fine. Just tell us. So we had an opportunity to agree with the bad report. We had opportunity to settle for something less. But we said, no, we want it. And in the name of Jesus, what will be on that truck will be what this community needs. Come on now. We come in agreement with God. We don't agree with the enemy. And God done what? He gave us exactly what we were supposed to get. Come on now. Hallelujah. It wasn't in the warehouse. But all of a sudden it appears on that trailer truck. Come on, God owns it all. Amen. So stay with me this morning. Notice, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now first of all, Moses is a lawgiver. Okay? Now remember, everything in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of the New. So you and I, we are to speak out the words of Jesus, and they're to become law. Come on, the law of grace, the law of love is to work in this dispensation. And so we need to be God's lawgiver. We need to say what thus saith the Lord and create some things. And so God brings this revelation to Moses, and he said, I want you to see this. See, that's why you need to look at your brother and sister and say, you've never met anybody like me before. Because there's nobody like you. Not one person in the world is like you. Amen? Because God is a unique God. He said, I want you to see, I have called, God said, I've addressed by name. Now, when he says that in the Hebrew, he said, I've addressed Baziel by name. I have called by name Baziel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of celebration, the tribe of praise. God said, I've made a call here on Baziel. Baziel means out of the shadow. Out of the shadow. Coming into the shadow of God and bringing it out. Come on now. You and I, we've got to see some things. Things happen when we get in the shadow of the Almighty God. Things happen. Promises come to pass. Revelation comes. And so if you and I recognize and realize that by the Spirit of God, we're abiding. Psalms 91:1. We're abiding under the shadow of the Most High God. We're in the place where we can see the heart of God. We can hear what His will is, and we can see it play out before our very eyes. And we can say, God, is that me? Is it time? Do you want me to instigate that? Do you want me to start that in the earth? Do you want me to bring what I saw under the shadow, bring it out into the opening? Come on now. Now notice what he said here. I have called my name Baziel, the son of Uriah, the son of the living flame. Come on. See, there's a flame inside of you. When you got born again, the fire of the Holy Ghost come up inside of your spirit to abide forever. You've been sealed by the Spirit of the living God. The fire of the altar of God is burning inside of you. Amen. That's your heritage. Come on, we're talking about the heritage of Baziel. The heritage was there was a flame in his bloodline. Come on, say there's a flame in my bloodline. Come on, your bloodline's of Jesus. Amen? Notice what he said. He said, and I've called by name Baziel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Hur means to bore a hole. But who was Hur? Who was Hur? Let's look at something. Go with me to Exodus chapter 17. Look at verse number 12, Exodus 17:12. This is where God's children were battling Amalek. It says, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone. They took a stone. Ain't you proud of Jesus? Come on now. This is the type and the shadow. Who are you sitting on? Who are you standing on? Who are you building your life on this morning? Come on, that rock. The rock of the Lord. They took a stone and they put it under him. Moses is on that rock. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the other side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now notice this. And Joshua, type of Jesus, discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Why? Because as long as Moses' hands was up, as long as praise was going up, come on, victory's there. Why does the devil want to stop you from praising the Lord? Because in your praise, that's your victory. In your praise, because praise is an action of faith. Because you may not feel like in the natural praising God, but when you do. But I want you to see that in the bloodline, in the family genealogy of Baziel, there was something that was there. See, you've got to see that it's not about who you are in the natural, it's about who you are in the spiritual. Come on now. You've got to see that there's a flame inside of you, but there's an ability to hold up the work of God. You can help. You are created to be a helper of God. You are unique in your calling. And so you've got to look and see what other people have done in the Word of God, in the Bible, and you've got to say, wait a minute, since they have set an example there for me, thus I have the ability, I have the opportunity to step into that. I can do what has been done because that picture has been painted before me. There was anointing for that. And every time somebody leaves that office and that anointing, it abides there. And God's waiting on somebody to step in it. Amen? And as time as a church, you and I, we step into some promises that He has for us. Okay. God said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and carving of timber, to work in all the manner of workmanship. You and I, Ephesians 2:10, we are created in the workmanship of God. Amen? We are God's special creation. But I want you to think about this. God said, I've called Baziel out of this. See, you and I, so many times, the Spirit of God starts bringing a revelation, wants us to instigate something. And all of a sudden, the devil starts whispering in your ear, in my ear, and says, how can you do that? You don't know how to do that. You don't have an integrated source. You don't have the connections in the natural to be able to do that. How can you do that? No. What is so wonderful here, can you imagine calling Baziel, calling him out, calling this family line out of Egypt, out of bondage. You and I, we've been called out of Egypt. We've been called out of bondage. And all they had been doing for 430 years is making mud bricks. Come on now, did they deal with any gold and silver? No. They dealt with wood, hay, stubble, mud. They dealt with the natural things. So in themselves, they had no ability. But what did God do? God said, Moses, I want you to tell them, I have called them. God calls us. You and I, we can't call ourselves to preach. We can't call ourselves to teach. We can't call ourselves to sing. We can't call ourselves to any work of the Lord. God calls us. Amen? And when God calls you, there is an anointing on your life. Say, I have an anointing. Come on, you're unique. You're unique this morning. You've got to see that. You've got to see your role and how important it is. So God calls us into this place and in this position. And it's not anything about your natural ability or your natural knowledge. God wants you to know that He's going to put inside of you the ability to bring together this cutting of stones. The building of the temple in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow to help us to see how God's building the temple in the New Testament. Come on, what happened? The stones were cut when God got them from Hiram, when Solomon got them from Hiram and brung them in, and they fit together how? Perfectly! Come on, the Holy Ghost, the anointing on your life and my life, it causes us to fit together perfectly. Come on, we slide right together. There's no rough edges. There's no hard points. There's an anointing there to put us together. And so I want you to see and understand that God said, I'm going to raise somebody up that's going to bring and going to put the people that I've loved and the world has gave up on, and they think they're lost and gone. That's what Brother Corey was prophesying about. We've got to see that God is ready to reach the unreachable. He's ready to reach the lost. He's ready to bring the people together. And it's because you and I are willing to instigate some new things. Amen? We're willing to say yes to God. So inside of you, no matter what God's showing you, don't let it go down. Don't let it be covered over. You see it. See it in the Spirit and then speak it out. Let it be a creative force. Let it be something that is taking substance. It's coming into existence. It's not just in the spiritual, but it becomes materialistic. Now notice, when you are faithful in that, verse number 6, God says He'll bring you the instigators some support. He said, and I, behold, I have given with Him. Come on. God gives some things. Remember, God is the God that gives the perfect gift. James 1:17, He gives the gift without the shadow of turning. That's the kind of God that we serve. We'll talk about that later, maybe. And he said, I have given with him a Holiab. I've given with him the tent of his father. Now, what does that mean? That means that everything that they owned, everything that they, their family name, their family heritage, their destiny, it come out of that tent. So everything that had been given to him from his father was going to come out of that tent. Come on, you've been given some things this morning. You're living in the tent of the Almighty God, the family of God. You have access, you have resource, you have power of attorney in the name of Jesus Christ to do some things. Amen? And so out of your tent is whatever is needed to be done. So when you see somebody instigating something, when I see somebody instigating something in the name of Jesus, we say, Lord, show me where to go in that tent. I want to go and I want to bring something that will support that. I want to add to that. And behold, and I have given with him Aholibib, the son of Ahizamak, of all the tribe of Dan. Ahizamak means support. Support. See, so in his tent was support. Go think about it now. We're going to look at it in a moment of time. You don't know how important you are to the plan of God. You don't know how important you are to the temple of the Lord God Almighty. You are the support because God called you so. God has addressed you by name. In other words, He has spoke it out. And when you and I, when we receive what God speaks, it doesn't just fall to the ground. It happens. Amen? It happens. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholileb, the son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan, and the hearts of all that are wise-hearted. And in all the hearts that are wise-hearted, I put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Now, I want you to see this. God, when He has a command, you have an authorization. So you don't have to explain to man why you're doing something. Because God's gave the command. And with the command, He has gave you the charge. And when you accept, when I accept the charge, there is the anointing. And in that anointing for that office, there is the ability to bring to pass what God has designated. Amen? So we've got to get along and see what God is saying to Moses, saying to the lawgiver. We need to become that lawgiver. We need to speak it out. We need to receive that word and allow it to change our lives. Hold your place there and turn over and let's look at this shadow. In Exodus 24, Moses is up on the mount. And look what it says for sake of time. And in the glory, verse 16, 24:16, and the glory of the Lord abode on Mount Sinai, and the cloud, that shadow, it covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, He, God, called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Verse 17. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now notice this, verse 18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and get him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. You know this story very well. But under the shadow. Now remember what we talked about. When you're in that place, when God's called you and ordained you, you see who you are. You're in that place of shadow, that place of God and His provision. And now, think about this. Moses went up and he got revelation that nobody had ever heard before. Come on, he got the law. But he got a relationship with God and his face shone so bright that they couldn't even look at it. Now think about it. You're abiding under that shadow. It's time that you recognize and realize that God wants to shine through your face. Jesus said in John 9, verse 6, He said, I'm the light of the world. But He said in Matthew chapter 5, He said, now you... Because as long as I'm in the world, He said, I'm the light. But now that I've gone away, He said, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5, 14, 15, 16, you are that light. Amen? And so what you want to do, what you want to receive that reality, you want to receive that truth, you want to say, out of that shadow, I'm going to come down and I'm going to speak out God's will. I'm going to instigate some things. I'm going to start some things for the glory of God. Amen? You say, well, that's Old Testament. Let's go to New real quick. Hold your place. We'll be back. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, hallelujah. Verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus talketh to Peter, James, and John, his brother, and he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them, notice this, Moses and Elijah with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? Or it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Mark it down. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. See, when you and I recognize that God is calling us, and when He calls us, He overshadows us. Baziel, remember. And so out of the shadow, secrets come. Out of the shadow, revelation comes. Out of the shadow, you understand who Jesus is, what His role in the earth is through His body. Say, that's me. Come on, you're the body. You're the many-membered body. And so He has something for you to do. So you and I, we've got to be in that place where we start seeing the instigation, the start of the work and the will of God in us and through us. We come in agreement with it. Because the Bible said when you agree as touching anything, 2 people. I want to agree with the Lord, don't you? So we agree with the Lord. We speak that out, and it brings His will, His plan into the earth. Amen? Oh, glory. Okay, y'all are not as excited about this as I am, so you pray for me, because then we're just going to have to cut it, because I got so much I want to say, because this is burning inside of me, because I see great things happening. I see things that excite me to the utmost. All right, let's go back to Exodus 31. Verse number 7. The tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is thereupon and all the furniture of the tabernacle. How is God building His body? How is He putting the things in His church that is needful? See, everything that was in the tabernacle, all of those 7 implements of furniture, He names 12 things here that you and I are to instigate and to support and to give into. That makes the fullness of the governmental, number 12 in the Bible means governmental perfection, the where Jesus is truly ruling and reigning through His church on the earth. But those 7 things that are types and shadows to reach the lost and bring them to salvation. Everything that was in that tabernacle. And so you and I, we've got to see that when God is saying that He wants us to build a laver, He wants us to build an altar. He wants us to be a part of the lampstand and the mercy seat. He wants us to be a part of the table of showbread. You get to be a part of that. You get to build that into people's lives who do not know the Lord God Almighty. That this building, yes, it happened in Moses' time, but it's happening right now in the New Testament church. It's happening this morning as we speak. There's some things going on in people's lives. Not everybody's in church. Some people are in the harvest field. Some people are in a nursing home ministering. Some people are in a dark place where there is no hope, no light, no grace of God until that missionary, until that servant of the Most High God brings it to them. And when He brings it to them, it brings the building that God has designated and ordained from heaven to the earth. That's you and I this morning. Amen? And so we've got to see, this is an Old Testament history alone. This is New Testament guidelines to build the will and the plan of God. So I want to see it, but then I want to be in the place where I support it. Come on, I support it. I see that I'm part of this. I'm part of it. I get to be a part of what the Almighty God is bringing from heaven to earth. Remember, everything that we see here in the natural, it's a shadow, it's a type of what God already has. Come on in heaven. What we're building from the prototype. We're not building by guess, by happenstance. We're not having to start over and go, oops. Our God's not the God of oops. Our God is the God that knows exactly what He's doing. And because you have the Spirit of God, you have the mind of Christ. Amen? And you know what you're doing. So tell the devil he's a liar. Crucify the flesh and say, I'm an instigator and I'm a supporter. Amen? I'm going to do what God would have me to do. All right. Go with me to, hold your place there and go with me to the New Testament quickly. Let's look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For sake of time, we'll just read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at the last verse, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And I think it's interesting, you know, steadfast means to be unmovable, but a different Greek word. But be ye steadfast, and then he says unmovable, and another Greek word. Always abounding in what? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, this always means at every occasion, but abounding means to be in excess. It means filthy rich. Now, you need to hear that this morning, because in some areas of your life, the devil has told you, you'll have to sit out on this. That's for somebody else. That's a lie. You and I, in every season of our life, I don't care if it's a dry season, I don't care if it's a hard season, I don't care if it's a season where it looks like nothing is happening. He said it always, at every occasion, you and I are abounding. We're not just barely getting by. We're not just barely scratching the surface. We're in excess. We're in the filthy richness of God. We're doing what God would have us to do, because we're on the rock. We're steadfast. We're unmovable. We're not going anywhere. Word devil would put you on notice. God planted us here, and we're going to be here because His grace will keep us here. Not because we're boasting in anybody else but Jesus. But our boast is in the risen Savior, the Almighty God. He has the first say. He has the final say, because you and I are His children. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Our work is not empty. We're filling people up in the name of Jesus. We're filling them up physically, just like Jesus did. We're going to fill them up emotionally, because if your body is hungry, your mind is in turmoil. Come on now. Let's be honest. We've all been hungry. And then you can never reach your spirit unless you first go through the body and through the soul. And you get into the spirit. You get into the real things. Your work is not in vain. Everything, every prayer that you pray, every tear that has hit your pillow, every tear that has hit your altar, God has it bottled up in heaven. And He's waiting. And at the right time, He'll give that bottle to an angel. And an angel will fly over your life or over that situation, that circumstance, and pour out that vial, and those prayers will be answered. You may be in heaven when it happens, and you may not. But what I mean is, you can count on your God. Amen? Come on now, let's stay with it. You are unique on this Father's Day. You are unique because you're men and women of the Most High God. Amen? All right. Let's talk about this support just a second. Turn over to the book of Galatians. I got to get this into your heart. Look at Galatians chapter 2. And I want you to see the pillar of support. Galatians 2:9. And when James and Cephas, you know, James and Peter and John, who, what does the Bible say? Mark it down. Who seemed to be pillars. Come on, they were support. Come on, you're either an instigator in one season or you're supporting what somebody else is instigating, who seem to be pillars. Now notice, what were they going to support? They perceived the grace that was given unto Paul. You got to see that by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you can look into the life of somebody and you can see the grace of God that is on their life. Nobody else may not see it. They may not understand it if they're not born again. But you being a born again, spirit filled child of God, you can look and see. And you can see that grace and you can support that. Come on. They didn't want to accept Paul in. There was, in the natural, they was hurt. There was animosity. There was anger. There was division there. But the Spirit of God brings what? Unity, right? So God brought them together and they supported. And the Bible says, we won't take time to read it, but they go ahead and they send him and Barnabas to the Gentiles. Oh, thank God. Come on now. Hallelujah. So we've got to what? We've got to instigate some things, but we've got to support some things, because you are a pillar. 1 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy 3, I think it's verse 15. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul says, talking to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now notice this. Now we're reading this for a reason. What's the house of God? Ask yourself that question. What is the house of God? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. the pillar and the ground. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I'm going to add to my church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Come on, why? Because you're a pillar of what? Of truth. You're holding up truth. That's who you are. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the... Come on, see, Jesus needs you. Jesus needs you. Get out of any of this thing. So many people say, well, if God wants to do it, He'll do it. God's got to have a vessel to work through. We're privileged to be able to be used by the Most High God. Amen? Oh, glory. One more. Revelation 3:12. We've got to see that it's not going to be easy. Come on, was it easy for Jesus to go to the cross? Revelation 3:12. Out of the mouth of Jesus. Him or her, no gender intended. The person that what? That means you're going to have to what? You're going to have to meet the enemy. Amen? You're going to have to, and I start my first enemies right here. This flesh body. My second enemy is this mind. And then the devil's out here. Him or her that overcometh, Jesus. Now this is Jesus talking. Will I make? Woo! Come on, now Jesus is making you into something. Amen? He's making you realize. He's decreeing a word, and you got to see it, you got to speak it out, and then you got to support it. Him will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him a new name. You don't know what part of support you are until you see the revelation, what God is writing on your life. See, thy word have I hid in my heart. David said that I might not sin against thee. He said, write the word. I write the word on the table of my heart. We've got to hear what God says. We speak it out. And when we speak it out, what happens? I hear what I say. And when I hear what I say, the Psalms says that my tongue becomes the pen of a ready writer. In other words, I hear what God says. I speak it out. And when I receive it back into my heart, it writes it on the table of my heart. And it becomes the law. In other words, it becomes the reality of what God is saying about me. Amen? Oh, come on now. On this Father's Day, we've got to see that we're unique, and we've got to see who we are. Okay, quickly, go back to Exodus. One more thing we'll look at here real quickly. Notice what he said in verse number 10 and 11. And the clothes of service and the holy garments for Aaron and the priest and the garments of his son to minister in the priest's office. You are, Jesus, out of his mouth, through Peter, through Paul, and then out of the mouth itself. You are kings and priests. Come on, that's who you are. And so you've got to have on the robe of righteousness, and you do. You've got to see that when you got born again and the blood of Jesus come over you, that priestly robe come upon you. But you and I, we need to what? We need to help each other. You know, Solomon wrote that as iron sharpeneth iron, so does a friend sharpen the countenance of one another. In other words, you and I, we need to rub up against each other with that anointing oil. Come on. And that helps us to see this robe. It helps build the robe. Jesus said, and not to get into Revelation 19, 6 and 7 and 8, there, you and I, your righteous actions, your deeds, it builds, it adds to this robe, okay? If you'll read it from the Greek, you'll see that. It's a constructive force. And so I want you to see here, you have the ability to help clothe somebody else because you're bringing them under the blood, you're bringing them to the mercy seat, you're bringing them to the righteousness of God, amen? And look what happens. Because no man comes to that place unless the Father draws them. And the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I've commanded thee, shall they do. So all I've got to do is I've got to hear what God wants to instigate, because I've been under the shadow. And then I've got to get myself in the place like he was talking about of Holabim. And Ahishamach, I've got to support it. And if I, and then when I see it and I start it and I support it, he said, I can do it. I can do it. You got to see, I got to see that we serve a can-do God. He never once said that he was going to do anything and fail at it. Come on now. And so on this Father's Day, I want you to say, I'm just as important, male or female. Because God looked and he created male and female, and he said it was very good. Amen? Come on now. And woman wasn't took out of the toe. Woman wasn't took out of the head. She was took out of the helix curve, out of the DNA part, the curve, the rib, is what King James says. But why? We're equal. We're equal, amen? We have a job to do. Each one is unique. Be who you are, and let's stand up and let's teach a generation. There's a generation that doesn't know God. There's a generation that don't understand. They can't embrace who they are. They want to override somebody else. Come on. It's time the Church of the Living God goes out and be a light in this dark world and tell them they can be happy, content, successful, completely fruitful in who they are if they'll just accept Jesus. Amen? Amen? Oh, glory. All right. Now, I want us to close with this thought right here. You know the scripture, but in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. It says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Whew, that's powerful. And are built upon the foundation. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus and Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's who your life is on. Your life's not on sinking sand. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen. God give us forewarning about everything that's going to happen. Don't be shaken. Yes, wars and rumors, wars, all these things are coming to pass. But you and I, we got to be looking for when they say peace, peace, peace. Amen? In whom all the building, say all the building. Come on, God's bringing them in. And he's going to bring them in through you. The building's not done yet. Come on now, we're wanting to say, come Lord Jesus. And we want him to come, but we don't want him to come until that last part is added to the building. Amen? In whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth, say I'm growing, unto the temple, unto a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together. Come on, I'm builded together. I need you. I need you. I need you. Come on, we need each other. Amen? We're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, I want you to get this by the Spirit of God. Amen? The uniqueness of it. See, and understand, I'm using this for an analogy, okay? That's all I'm doing, just an analogy. But if you go to a different church this morning, in that church, you're going to see Jesus in a different way. I'm not saying one's wrong, one's right. I'm just saying in every church, you're going to get a different picture of Jesus. All right? We know that it was God's will and God's plan that there be one church. But man is the one who has made all the division. Denomination means division. You recognize that, right? All right? So God is trying, and that's why he's doing all this shaking. He's going to bring, he's going to have his church. He's going to have it the way he wanted it, okay? But I want you to see that if you go to one church and you see a part of Jesus that you never saw here, and I go to a church and see a part of Jesus I never saw here, guess what? I'm lacking. You're lacking. But God said, he said that we're growing together in verse 21, that whom ye also are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. All right? Now, you have the Spirit according to what you will receive and understand and walk in. Same way with me. All right? So, when God brings his whole church together, we're going to have the whole revelation of God. Come on, now we know in part, we see in part, and we prophesy in part. But there's going to come a time we're not going to look through the glass darkly because Jesus is going to finish what he started. Amen? So come on, let's bring everybody together. Let's don't separate. Let's bring them together, because when we come to Jesus, He takes away those things that divide us. Amen? Amen. Come on, He's the unifier. All right. Hallelujah. I got to read one thing. Okay, I wasn't going to do this, but I, go to Exodus 25. I got to. I want you to leave here, no doubts, no worries, no concerns about what God's called you to do and what can be done. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 Exodus 25. And the Lord spake to them. Can I say this too? I want you to think where God was naming what those people could do. You know, where God was telling what they could do. You know what the people were doing? They were playing the harlot. They were building the golden calf. That didn't shake God, move God one iota. Because God said, I'm not looking at what they're doing in the natural. I'm looking at what I'm going to cause them to do in the spiritual. I'm going to bring them out of the natural. Can you and I look and see some people like that this morning? Stop looking at their sin and look at what God can do. The sin puts a label on them, but the Spirit of God puts possibility in them. Come on now. Sin puts a label on them, but the Spirit of God puts possibility on them. Amen? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Israel simply means those who are under the rule of God. Okay? That they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take an offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them. Gold, silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and shaddam wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Now notice this. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them after all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall me make it. So God sent this out and He moved on their heart, right, to do that. Now, after He moved on their heart to do that, turn to Exodus 36. We won't take time to read all this. You read the first seven verses, but we'll just read the last two. God moved on the men and the women. You see that it's men and women both. And in verse number 6, and Moses' commandment gave the commandment. He did what God told him to do. And they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, so the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. There's nothing too big in your spirit this morning that can't be done by God. Because why? Because just like in the book of Acts, God brought the church together in Acts 4, and it says that they lacked no good thing. Everybody had what was needed. Because here's the Old Testament type and shadow, there's the New Testament in the natural. We're coming in the dispensation right now, the season, for it to happen in the New Testament church in the spiritual. Why did they stop taking it up? Because the work was done. Okay, is everybody saved this morning? The work's not done. We're still working on the temple. But whatever we have need of, we have more than enough to do it. Who do we need to feed? Who do we need to visit? Who do we need to clothe? Who do we need to have an avenue to reach them with the gospel? Come on, there's an avenue this morning. The door's open wide. That door is Jesus Christ. He's the door that He opened and Himself. And no man can shut. Amen? Amen? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the power of Your Word. I thank You for the anointing on Your Word. And now, because we have written this Word, this on the table of our heart, there's an anointing to bring to pass in our lives this very same Word. I asked You, Father, right now, that You would touch every person. Let them be inspired. Let them see and speak. Let them see and support. Let them see and start all of these new things to usher in the millennial reign of Christ, to usher in the coming of the Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Father, right now, let every person be refreshed by the power of this word. Let this anointing of liberty, let it bring freedom, newfound freedom in their life to be able to do what they never thought they could do. Let it be, Father. We thank you in advance for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's take a little time and you make your altar there at your seat or however you wish to do it. And let's just let the Lord show you some things. And then after you get done praying about that, we need to pray for some people. We need to remember Sister Glennie and Sister Mandy and that their whole family. We need to remember Brother Ralph that helps bring us this food and so forth. But and then if you have needs for yourself, we're going to pray for you. But most importantly, right now, if you'll get a vision, because Jesus Christ, He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He said everything else about your life that you need will be added to you. So this morning, we need to be about His business. Amen. And if we're about His business, what did Jesus do? He caused the elders, He caused those around Him to be amazed with the words He spoke because He was about His Father's business. It's time that the church causes people to be in amazement. Amen. Hallelujah. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, bring revelation, bring unction to each one of us. We thank you.